the unsurpassed,
penetrating, and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it. We can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with myself.
Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. When I was just about to print something out, I noticed that to print out the copy of the outline of practice to give up for reading views, I realized that I had printed out the ones everybody had, but missing the first paragraph. So you only have the four practices, you were missing the two entrances. So, and the first paragraph is, which I'll now discuss. Many roads lead to the path, but basically there are only two, reason and practice. To enter by reason means to realize the essence through instruction, and to believe that all living things share the same true nature, which isn't apparent because it's shrouded by sensation and delusion. Those who turn back from delusion to reality, who meditate on walls, the absence of self and others, the oneness of mortal and sage, who remain unmoved even by scriptures, are incomplete and unspoken, renewed with reason. Without moving, without enter, they enter, we say, by reason. And actually, what he's really talking about is the fact that actually the way is, what we're really trying to do is open our eyes to reality. That's it. You know, see what's really there, see clearly. And just like sometimes, and actually I don't really like the word reason. I don't know what the alternates are, but I suspect it's not reason as we know it. Because actually when the teaching enters, it actually doesn't enter through our head. It much more enters through our heart. It's like we can hear this stuff in our head endlessly, and we go out and it didn't get in. You know, it's up there. I shouldn't be annoying, but our hearts, you know, we're still annoyed. I shouldn't be bothered by this, but we're bothered by this. And sometimes teaching just enters. And the nice thing is that the teaching can enter without it even being Buddhism. Because Buddhism is just a form, just one way of looking, description of reality, description of what we do. And actually, what it's pointing to can be found by just confronting and really taking reality into your hearts. Thus, people I've known have had true awakenings just being around somebody who's dying, by just being around something that goes in. And naturally, people have been awakened who aren't Buddhist. Sometimes they don't have the thing Buddhism gives you is a very good explanation of what we just explained. Experience, which you may not have a good way to explain it without it. And the most famous example, really, of what Bodhidharma is talking about actually happened, you know, to the six patriarchs, so six generations after the Buddha, where he just was an illiterate laborer in kind of what was considered at that time a barbarian area of China, and he heard the Dhyana Sutra. And he had a deep realization, and it just went in. And in a way, when you read about the six patriarchs, you know, he never did any of these practices. He just was awake, and that's good karma. You know, there'll be many cases, you know, people will walk into these gates sometimes and have a realization on some level or other without, you know, without almost doing anything, because they're ready for it. And by entering by reason is just realizing and being in harmony with the teaching, just because you know that's the good thing to do. Just like people who can deeply follow the precepts, and they're actually not knowing they're following the precepts. They're just, this is what I do. You know, it's just like a good mother is saying, wow, how do I, you know, I'm loving my child. Wow, what an accomplishment. And they just love their child, you know. They put their child before them and they don't think, wow, I'm doing something special. I'm training. I'm putting my child in front of me. You're just being a mother. And however, the reason you're all here is because you're entering my practice to some extent. And even if you have a realization to deepen it, you often need the practices. And because usually it's only you entered somewhere, but you're still usually driving about hard some karma that needs converting. And you're all here making the effort of this retreat, waking up early, you know, following a schedule, losing a lot of the flexibility of normal daily life, because you actually want to find something deeper. And to enter, the next line is, to enter by practice refers to the four all-inclusive practices, suffering and justice, adapting to conditions, seeking nothing, and practicing the Dharma. First, suffering and justice. When those who search for the path encounter adversity, they should think to themselves, in countless ages gone by, I have turned from the essential to the trivial, and wandered through all manner of existence, often angry, without cause, and guilty of numberless transgressions. Now, though I do no wrong, I am punished by my past. Neither gods nor men can foresee when an evil deed will bear its fruit. I accept it with an open heart and without complaint of injustice. The sutras say when you meet adversity, don't be upset, because it makes sense. With such an understanding, you're in harmony with reason, and by suffering injustice, you enter the path. And that's, you actually can't train unless you can accept the karmic conditions you find yourself in. There's no training involved in not, or progress going to be made if you can't start learning to embrace the fact that lots of things are happening that you don't want. You know, reality doesn't conform. You know, the universe isn't answerable to our personal wills. And, you know, and this is kind of key, because this is what training is about. To start making progress in training, another way of saying it is just acceptance. You know, all acceptance. And the degree that you have, that is the degree you're going to do well. Simple as that. The degree that you're fighting what unfolds in your life is a degree you're not going to be doing well. And one aspect of meditation and training is just seeing the truth of the law of karma, that everything you do has a consequence, and that you're generating your future. Naturally, we often can't understand the karma coming from the distant past. You're born with karma. A baby coming out of the womb is often, one is gurgling, the other is complaining. You know, just to be around small infants, you know. Some is saying, this is difficult, I don't like this. And the other one is saying, this is great. We're born with karma, but the whole point of training is, so we don't always understand where it is, but we have to trust there's a good reason for whatever is happening. And from a Buddhist point of view, they often say not everything is karma, in the sense everything happening to you isn't, wow, I did this, that's the consequence. But everything that's happening to you is due both to karma or just to causes and conditions. You know, an earthquake happens. I was bad today. This earthquake, no. It's, you know, where I did something awful in past life. There are causes and conditions, and everything is due. If somebody's angry with you, there's reasons, you know, both in their karma and in your karma. And it's funny, accepting injustice is, we're in a world, from a Buddhist point of view, this is a world of samsara, a world that people are actually spending most of their time following their desires. And then we're surprised when they're actually not always being in harmony with the precepts. You know, without realizing that's the world we're in, people are often going, it's not like something is fundamentally going wrong when somebody is selfish, cruel, you know, all these things. This is the nature of reality, that people are often not doing well. You know, it's like saying, I want a reality where everyone is doing well. Well, this isn't the human realm. The human realm is people are working through greed, hate, their defilements, and often they're acting upon them. And if you don't think they are, you have to look at yourself. Often what we're saying is, I know I get angry, but I don't get that angry. I know I have ill will, but not as much ill will as they're having. Mine is kind of okay ill will. But their ill will is kind of bad ill will. You know, it's just like a common expression. People often say, I wouldn't do that. Well, you know, I usually think, but you're doing lots of things they're not doing. You know, it's, and, you know, and there's the line from accepting injustice, really, there's the very beginning of the Dharmamahala, which is a collection of the Buddha's sayings. The third, fourth, and fifth verse are, he abused me, he beat me, he defeated me, he robbed me. In those who harbor such thoughts, hatred will never cease. He abused me, he beat me, he defeated me, he robbed me. In those who do not harbor such thoughts, hatred is vanquished. For hatred does not cease by hatred at any time. Hatred ceases by our willingness to love. This is a law eternal. Really simple, straightforward. We're all not doing it to some extent. All you have to do is think of what you're harboring, you know, what you're complaining about, what you're criticizing, what you're finding difficult to realize. Really simple. And the nice thing about this, like a lot of Buddhist teachings, is when something comes up, remind yourself there isn't any exceptions. There's never a time, this is good hate. This is good anger. This is good criticism. This is good. One of the things we make the mistake of, though, is not realizing part of training is allowing those feelings, thoughts to arise. You can't say, I don't want to have hatred, anger, fear, criticism enter my mind or heart. That actually isn't Buddhist training. Buddhist training is you have to learn you can sit still amidst karma conditions. And you have to also be willing to feel the karma. What that means is if somebody hates you, you feel it. And actually, you're not training. You're actually closing your heart if you don't feel it. It's just like if you don't want to feel any good things coming from other people. You often want to feel, oh, this person loves me, this person likes me. All of that, that we think, oh, this is good to feel, but I don't want to feel the fact that they don't like me. So it's like, I want to pick and choose what feelings I let in. That's actually not Buddhist training. Buddhist training is we open our heart to everything, to all karma. And they're just causes and conditions that flow into us. And whatever feelings you're feeling, from a Buddhist point of view, they're fine. Feeling hatred is fine. The clear line in this, you do not harbor it. You don't provide it a home. You don't say, I'm going to hang on to you and keep you for the next 20 years. You let go of it. And you let go of it by sitting still and realizing you can find a place that's deeper than this karma. And that, in a way, is the whole point of Buddhist training, is to find a place that's deeper than karma. In the end, no karma can touch your real heart. And that's why this all works, because no matter how much you've been abused and beaten and all the rest, if you sit still, there's a place in the depths of your being that knows it's okay. You know, because when I say you're not free of karma, bad things can always happen. One of the Buddha's two leading disciples, one of them was Moggallana, who died before the Buddha did because he actually got killed in a very brutal way. You know, he wasn't free of karma. meeting people due to karma, good and bad, are always going to be flowing through us, pain and pleasure, right and wrong. You're not trained. You accept everything, as Bodhidharma said, with an open heart. You know, that is what Buddhist training is about. But you don't actually say, you have to still let it in. You have to actually be willing to feel it, because part of suffering and justice is feeling. And that it's okay to feel bad, it's okay to be angry, it's okay to be afraid. Just don't spin the story around it. You know, have compassion for it, and just let it come in. And the nice thing about looking at letting things in is, if you have an open heart, you let everything in. You also let everything out. You let it just flow through you. Just like somebody is upset with you. Oh, that doesn't feel great. Let it come in, let it go out. Somebody loves you. Great. Let it come in, let it come out. It's just feeling. Nothing's really going on. Nothing's happening when you feel. And there's nothing to fear in a feeling. Nothing is going on with it. It's just feeling. It's giving us information. It's actually how we learn from our karma, is the feeling. But we don't have to hold on to it. You know, it's like one of my favorite Zen koans was somebody goes up to Great Master Togong, who actually is a monk who wrote the most excellent Vihara Samadhi, and he asks him, "Oh Master, I fear the heat and I fear the cold. Both of them make me feel like I can't practice, can't do things. How does one find a place that's neither too hot nor too cold?" The master said, "When it is hot, be completely hot. When it is cold, be completely cold. Then you will find a place that's neither too hot nor too cold." In a way, so when you're uncomfortable, the whole time you need, it's fun. Just let it arise and pass. Find that place that's deeper. Just like, you know, I can remember when I did week-long retreats. I haven't done one in a long time. So I can say when I did them. I can remember, it used to be a point on every retreat where I felt like, I'm tired of this. You know, maybe my back is hurting me too much. Maybe I don't want to be doing this anymore. And I would just keep following the schedule. It would come and pass, and I would think, okay. You know, and realize there was nothing there. It was just a feeling. It was just like that feeling, I can't take this anymore. Sit still, it's just a feeling. Realize hate, love, all these things are just feelings. But as the Buddha said, hatred doesn't cease by hatred at any time. Hatred ceases by the willingness to love. You know, this is eternal. You just keep practicing the Dharma, which means you're actually pointing yourself to those teachings that there's no difference between number one and unsafe. There's no difference between beings. When we say, like the teaching, all beings are a Buddha, it's actually pointing us to the place that's deeper than the karma. Because obviously, in terms of karma, there's a lot of people who aren't doing well. You know, and we're all at times not being Buddhas, you know, in our behavior. I think that's safe to say. But we sit still and we find the place that knows, that isn't being moved, as Bodhidharma said. You know, there's without moving, you know, we find the place. You know, and the Buddha, what the Buddha had his enlightenment from is he sat under the Bodhi tree and he said, "Earth, witness my resolve, I will not be moved." And really what he was saying is, I will not be moved by any of the karma, by whatever I feel, whatever comes up. I'm going to sit and let it just all flow through me, past me, and realize it doesn't really matter. It's just karma. And what's real is that place I find beneath it, that can feel it, see it, and just realize nothing's really happening. And, you know, the reason we can accept injustice is we have that trust that there's a place in us that's deeper, and that really nothing is hurt. The hurt is just your wrong view of clinging to something. Yes, there's pain. Yes, something was hurt, but, you know, it's just like it had no fundamental reality. It's almost, you know, and, you know, and that's, you know, it's like one of the sayings against the suffering and justice. One of the sayings is, an enlightened man is at one with his karma. And what that really means is that, you know, he's just accepting whatever's there without making a problem out of it, just dealing with it. You know, which we can all do at times. Something goes wrong and we don't make a problem out of it. We just deal with it. But something can go wrong and we can feel like the universe is collapsing. What do I do with it? And it's just your attitude of mind with what's happening. And part of suffering and justice is realizing don't take any of the karma personally. And it's actually something you apply to yourself and others. Don't view it, this person is an angry person. Just realize it's his anger. You know, and they're not an angry person, even if they seem that way. You know, at times they're angry, and at times, you know, hell, they could be really patient, kind, and loving with their dog. You know, they just, with humans, they don't do as well. That doesn't mean they're an angry person. They just have the karma that they find people infuriating. And volition is a famous line of the Buddha is, volition is the doer of karma. Feelings are the reaper of karma. All you have to do is look at whatever you feel. You have actually set up the karma so when this happens, I'm going to feel bad. Like if you don't care about the opinion somebody has of you, it doesn't really bother you when they don't have a good opinion. You set it up, God, their opinion of me matters so much. You feel hurt when they have a bad opinion of you. And you know, and that's an important, you know, aspect of training to, you know, to be aware of. And that's what we're trying to do when we meditate. We're trying just to sit still and not let the karma move us. Not getting caught up, is this injustice? Is this just? Which is really what's wanting the world to be our way. And it keeps not being our way. It never will be our way. And you know, and that's, and part of suffering injustice is trusting there's no problem where you are right now. And wherever you are, you're deluded with everything. There's something going wrong, something a problem, something needs to change. It's just karma. You just deal with it. You know, it's just feeling. You accept it. You just let it arise and pass. And then you can actually make progress, or else you're just fighting, you know, with where you are at the moment. And then naturally you don't, it's hard to make progress when you keep saying, I don't want to be here. I don't want this to be happening. I don't want to have this thing. People shouldn't treat me this way. You know, you can't, you have to realize, you know, that it's okay. And part of it, and another way of looking at karma, that's a good dual way of looking at it, is when something arises, whatever it is, you're trying not to blame, not to criticize, and also not to excuse and ignore. Just to see it. One way of not seeing it is we just try not to see it. Oh, I don't want to be aware of something. I don't want to be aware. And one way we do it is I don't want to be aware of how I feel. And it's like, have you ever walked up to somebody who something, you know, you knew was really hard happened and the person will look at you with their gritted teeth, no, I'm fine. And you realize, no, they're not fine. They're feeling something. And you just have to accept that it's okay to feel it and just let it arise and pass. And because you can't train really that well without compassionate acceptance of what's going on, so you can see what had happened and embrace it. You know, realize, okay, this is the karma that I have. But you make the mistake when you kind of produce guilt about it, when you spin a story about it. You know, you take the Dharma when you say, you trust that you're a Buddha. The nice thing about Buddhism, we all have the same heart as Shakyamuni Buddha. The rest is an overlay. You know, the rest is actually delusion. You know, and because we cling to it, we say, oh, I can't do this. You know, it's like I teach hundreds of people in meditation every year. And, you know, one of the things, you know, people have is almost like, well, I can't meditate. And often when they describe it to me, I say, yes, you can meditate, you just don't like it. You know, this is hard. You know, it's like, I can't practice. No, it's not that, it's hard. You know, this is a hard thing to do. It's hard to want to feel whatever's going on, to want to not react to what's going on. You just want to get rid of it. And, you know, but often our reaction to things, like of how we can respond to somebody's anger, is to get angry back. So it's like pouring gasoline on a fire. You know, just adding fuel to it. And we can have the amazing ability that of kind of responding to, let's say, somebody being angry with us, we can get angry back with them and feel completely justified because they made the mistake first. It's like, it's okay for me to be angry because they were wrong to be angry with me. Without realizing, we just did the exact same thing, we're upset with them by doing. And we often do that. You know, somebody wasn't fair to us, so we don't have to think kindly of them because they weren't kind to us. And that's why one aspect of accepting injustice is taking responsibility for how each action, thought, you know, all our thoughts, words, and actions have a consequence. And actually, all our thoughts have a consequence. Doesn't mean you can't let them arise. That's karma. You know, I can't stop a thought popping into my head like, God, that wasn't fair. God, that person's an idiot. But how I respond to it is my responsibility. And to remind myself, and actually, all you have to do is think, is your thoughts, words, and actions in harmony with the Dharma? Is this what the Buddha would be thinking? Okay. No. He abused me, he beat me, he hated me. You know, the Buddha would let that go. Have compassion for the being who's doing it. Realizing I have been that being. And you can say that in this life. Well, actually, in this life, you've still made the mistake. Maybe not to that extent. You know, instead of a knife, you just gave a word that really hurt. You know, a little dagger that you knew would hurt somebody deeply. you know, you got upset with them. And people often find life confusing when they look at it in turn. See, what we're all, by not accepting injustice, we're often looking at the world. And it's actually then seeing the world that we want the world the way that we want. And why is it that way? And why aren't we the way we want to be? Why are others not the way we want them to be? And then everything is very confusing because it doesn't really make sense. You know, we're not the way we want to be. Well, we have to sit still and look at it. Okay, what's really happening here? What's going on in this body of karma which we call ourselves? And then we can start untangling the web that makes us, that sustains this anger, this hate, this passion, this fire. And it starts making sense. And we actually start seeing that the real pure intention that lies underneath all this karma. You can look and start seeing the pure intention that lies under all the karma. It's not like any being is really trying to make a mess of it. You know, wow, I don't really be an angry person. You know, it's just the nature of things. And actually, one of the aspects of karma, of accepting injustice, is just seeing how, when we make a mistake, it actually has a great tendency to bounce back on us. Somebody who hurts others actually is going to find themselves really being hurt by others because in a way they find that hard to do. You know, if you're cynical, the world will reflect it. You know, if you're opinionated, you'll be really upset how many other people have opinions that don't agree with yours. And in a way, accepting injustice is how we start to purify our hearts. By just not making a problem out of all these conditions, and instead trying to understand and trusting is a good reason. All the faults are there in all beings. There's a deep karmic reason, not a superficial one, for really things to be there. And then when you start trying to purify your own heart, you realize, God, this is difficult stuff. Wow, it's not surprising other beings are having trouble doing it. And it opens your heart to compassion. You realize, God, how much I cling to this stuff. And you know, it's anyway, the, you know, the whole issue of karma is a big topic, you know, that this short talk actually doesn't completely cover. But that's okay. You know, but the acceptance of whatever happens to you is the key. You know, really, all your progress will be how much you do that. You know, if you look at somebody who's doing well, that's what they're doing. When something happens to them, there's a line I always like. They all say to monks who traditionally beg for food, and the original practice was only lived on what was given to them. Is that whatever you're being given in life is being presented in your begging bowl. The love, the hate, good health, bad health, you know, warm weather, cool weather, whatever happens. And whatever it is, you bow to it and realize it is a teaching for you. You know, getting what you don't want is actually a much better teaching than getting what you want. You know, I remember reading a quote, I always liked that. The actor recently who died, Patrick Swayze, had a quote in that song, and after he died, he said, "The worst thing that ever happened to me was getting what I wanted." Which in this case, let's know, becoming like a movie star, famous, rich, homeless. And And of course, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. It's just how you respond to it. And there's a teaching in whatever it is. We get what we want, and it can be how we respond to it can make it good or bad karma. Often meeting people who come or practicing Buddhism or trying to practice Buddhism, because in life they got the very karma they didn't want. You know? And they actually will frequently tell me how grateful they are for things having fallen apart, because actually that helped them, freed them from sometimes being obsessed with work, obsessed with this, lost really in this dream of birth and death, and get in touch with what's of much greater value to you, with the real heart that lies underneath it. And when you touch, you realize none of this really matters in the deeper sense, and nothing can hurt us. And that is the place we all want to find much more, the place that knows there's nothing to fear in life and death. And as Bodhidharma said somewhere, you find them. We're all finding the place. The goal of training is to find that place that's free of birth and death. It's really free of fear. It knows that nothing can hurt us. Amish to Buddha, Amish to Dharma, Amish to Sangha.